live. It's nice to be with you, brothers and sisters, and as always, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a live meeting here. We're small here in Oregon, under 25, so with social distancing rules, we can meet. So when I'm done, Sylvia and I will go to the assembly. She's getting things ready now, but she might be in later to say hello or to just say goodbye. I'll be using PowerPoint, as you see, and I'd like you to start out this morning in Romans chapter 6. The book of Romans chapter 6, please. Romans chapter 6. And verse 7, we'll start with verse 7, Romans chapter 6 and verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Freed from sin. Then going to verse 16. Verse 16. Romans 6. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants, or some translations slaves, to obey, his servants or slaves ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, or others of you will have the slaves of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Verse 18, being then made free from sin. And then looking at verse 20, the beginning of verse 20. For when ye were the servants or slaves of sin. And so we've come across the subject of slavery here in the Word of God. You know, there's a lot of social issues before us today. And some of them have merit and some don't. But we as believers are connected with something even deeper than the social issues of today. For the Bible does address slavery, but it addresses it even a deeper way, which we could call spiritual slavery. Spiritual slavery, not social slavery, but spiritual slavery. And we'll see that the gospel of the Lord Jesus frees slaves, as we just read in verse 20. For when ye were the servants or slaves of sin, ye were free from righteousness. But verse 18, being then made free from sin. So as we start to contemplate this for a while, this gospel that frees spiritual slaves connected to sin, we are in spiritual slavery, as we're saying. Now, you know, brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus, when he was on earth, spoke of this. In John 8:34, he said, he that committeth sin is a servant or slave of sin. We call it addiction today. He called it slavery. He that committeth sin is a servant of sin. And so as you study the scripture, we are in bondage to sin through Adam. We also are connected to Satan and his world and in captivity. And so the Bible views us in a spiritual slavery of which the gospel of Christ came to free men and women and boys and girls from. You know, we read in 2 Corinthians 4:4, speaking of Satan, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So that our minds are blinded, we're dead in sin. We can't understand God, we're deceived. He's the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Ephesians 2:2. So we're in the clutches of Satan, blinded to God's glorious gospel, blinded to the revelation of God and a relationship with him. And as we commit sin, we're a servant, we're enslaved to sin. So the Bible calls us slaves of sin. You know, just a little more on that, if you'll go with me to Hebrews chapter 2. We'll come back to Romans. So if you want to put something right here in Romans 5 or 6, go ahead. We're coming back. But go with me to Hebrews chapter 2 to look at the language here. Hebrews chapter 2, please. And verse 14, of why Christ came, Hebrews 2 and verse 14. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And so the Lord is destroying Satan's authority, Satan's power, but he didn't do it through a war. He did it through death. Now look at the next verse. An interesting verse, Hebrews 2:15. And deliver them, that is save or free them, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. They were in lifetime slavery and bondage through fear of death. You see, men and women and young people, they fear death. They're not sure exactly what's out there. They might boast and say this, but they're not sure what's going to happen when they die. And so they're kind of subject to bondage. They're looking for insurance policies. And somebody comes along with a religion that promises paradise, or a cause that promises freedom, or a philosophy that promises utopia. Why, they're candidates for such. Because there's this fear of death. And the catch is, you have to follow their ways or rules. And when you do, you're in bondage to them, that they have you in a trap. And so through fear of death, men and women are subject to bondage all their lifetime, a lifetime slavery because of sin. But you see, if you're a believer, we understand, don't we, that Christ came to deliver from that bondage. For if you would say to me, or I would say to you, brothers and sisters, unless you join this religion and do these 8 rules, you'll go to hell. You'll say, no, I won't. I'll say, yes, you will. You'll say, no, I won't. I'll say, why not? You'll say, Christ died for my sins. 1 Corinthians 15:3. You'll go to the death of Christ and tell me you're forgiven and you're saved from judgment. And that is true. And that has broken the power of Satan. The substitutionary death of Christ has freed us from his bondage when we trust Christ. But the world is subject to all these things. They're in a lifetime slavery, separated from God. And so, you know, as Peter puts it this way, you'll see it on the right-hand part of your screen. It's a quotation. Actually, it's from the ESV. It says, they promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. These people and false causes and teachers promise freedom, but they're enslaved. They're slaves of corruption. For what overcomes them, they're enslaved to that. They're not free at all, but they do promise freedom, but they can't give it. Only the Lord delivers them who through all their lifetime is subject to bondage. So the brothers and sisters, the Bible sees us connected to sin and Satan in this world. And it's going to get worse because there's the eternal judgment of eternal confinement. You know, hell and the lake of fire. You can't get out of there. It's forever. You know, as Revelation 20:15 says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And that is forever and ever. There's no escaping. As the rich man who went to hell, the Lord Jesus told about him in Luke 16. And he was tormented into flame. He wanted a drop of water in hell. He lifted up his eyes being in torment. And he wanted someone to bring him a drop of water. And he was told this. It's quoted up there on your screen for you. From the ESV, and besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, or gulf, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. It is everlasting confinement. You talk about slavery. You talk about chains. In the chains of Satan and darkness, in the chains of sin, in the everlasting chains of God's judgment and torment, and you can't get out. I mean, our world knows nothing of this level of slavery, of bondage, of confinement. And so, the Bible paints sinners in spiritual bondage, in lifelong slavery that will go on through all eternity. Now, with that in mind, we come to the freeing gospel. You know, when the Lord Jesus was on earth, he claimed in Luke 4:18 that one of the reasons he came was to set at liberty them that are bruised or oppressed. But he looked at oppression as not social oppression. He looked at oppression as spiritual oppression, spiritual bondage. We've developed that a little bit. where he said, he that committeth sin is a servant of sin. But he promised that's why he came. We just read he came to deliver them that were subject to bondage. You know, the Lord said in that same section in John 8, in John 8, 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And he said in John 8, 36, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And so on this Independence Day weekend, talking a lot about liberty and freedom, there's a greater freedom. He came to set us free from spiritual bondage, eternal confinement. And so we come to this freeing gospel, which is going to take us back to Romans. So let's go to Romans chapter 4 to start. Romans chapter 4, please. And I'd like to show four areas that the gospel of the Lord Jesus frees the spiritual slaves from when we trust him, the Lord Jesus, when we bow the knee to him. We have, number one, we have listed up for you, it frees sin from your record book and from eternal judgment that we just talked about. Look here in Romans chapter 4. God has books. The books are open, we're told in Revelation 20. He's given a book of our life. And in Romans chapter 4 here, looking at verse 7, 4:7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. You know, it's just a blessed thing. When your sins are covered, when God can't see them, they're forgiven. You know, brothers and sisters, when my granddaughter Ella here was about 3 or 4 years old, she was sitting at our table one evening, and we were reading after supper, and she hates vegetables. She just hated vegetables at that age, 3 or 4 years old, our granddaughter. And she would hide them. She'd do all kinds of things with them. So I was reading this verse, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. So to get the concept of covered across to her, I took one of the peas that she did not eat. I laid it in front of me. I said, Ella, do you see this pea? She said, yes. So I took a napkin. I covered it. I said, can you see it now? No, Granddad, can't see it. I said, well, your sins before God, when you get saved, he will cover your sins. He'll actually take them away. He won't be able to see them, and you'll be blessed. You'll be happy. She said, okay, Granddad, my turn. She'd like to turn to her so-called read then. And so she was going to say something. I thought maybe she got a little something out of it. And she, here's what Ella said. God bless me. He covered the pea. And to her, the vegetable was covered. So that's as far as my illustration went at that age. But the truth is, blessed are we when our sins are covered. Looking at verse 8, Romans 4, verse 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He will not count it on your record book. Your record is clean before the judge of all the universe. What a wonderful thing is. One of the greatest things to be free from is sin on your record book in the eyes of a holy God. As the gospel says in 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Talk about good news. And because sin is not on my record book, I am free from eternal judgment. That lake of fire we talked about. Sin's not on my... Look at Romans 8 for a minute. Romans 5 and verse 9. Romans 5 and verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Saved from the wrath of God. Delivered. Free from the wrath of God. Those are the synonyms. That, as Romans 8:1 will later say, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. We're not condemned. We're passed from death unto life. And so the message we have is far greater than a social change. It's freeing from sin in our record book. It's not imputed. It's not counted. And therefore, we're free from the very wrath of God by the blood of Christ. You talk about a liberating gospel. But it even goes further than that. This gospel, he came to set at liberty them that are bruised. Let's look at the second feature of the freeing gospel. It frees from Adam's race of master sin's deathly dominion. See, connected to Adam, we're connected with sin and death. And we're under that spell. We're under that curse. We're a citizen of Adam's race. Everybody's is the one race of Adam. Looking at Romans 5 and verse 12, as he goes on to develop this. Look at Romans 5 and verse 12. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. One man, Adam. And everybody died. Every human being dies because we're connected to Adam. Death has passed upon all men because the wages of sin is death. In his sin, we're under that curse. And so we're a citizen of Adam's race. We're in that dominion. You know, when you're in a country, you're a citizen. You might visit another country and they have different health care. They have different taxes, but income tax or whatever. Well, that's not for you because you're not a citizen there. You have the benefits or lack of benefits of the nation you're in. And we're connected with Adam's race. But as we were reading, looking again at chapter 6 and verse 7, just to look at a couple highlights here without going into big detail. Romans 6 and verse 7. For he that is dead is free from sin. Christ died, and in our union with Christ, which baptism shows, we share his death and his resurrection life. And death, you know, is a legal separator. You know, a spouse dies. There's legal separation. The other person can remarry now. It's a legal separation broken by death, that legal bond. And in the death of Christ, in identification with the Lord Jesus, we are free from Adam's legal race, from the deathly dominion. Look at it further here. We already read it, but I want to read it a little more here. Looking here at verse 18, Romans 6 and verse, make it 14 first of all. Romans 8, verse 14. Romans 6. If I said 8, I meant 6. Romans 6 and verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. You're not in the dominion of sin, the authority of sin connected to Adam. Look at it again in 6:18. 6:18. But being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. We're free from sin. It doesn't say from sinning, but from the whole dominion of sin and Adam and death and the authority connected with that. Again, verse 22, 6:22. Being then made free from sin, because the wages of sin is death. So that we're not connected with Adam's race through the death of Christ. There's been a legal bond been broken. Thank the Lord. We'll see in a minute we're connected with a different race, the spiritual race of the Lord Jesus. But we're free from Adam's race because, you know, 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ you'll all be made alive. So all the negatives that go with Adam's citizenship, we are free from that through the death of Christ. A lot to meditate upon, but there's a lot in there. But there's more it frees from. As we progress to chapter 7 of Romans, it frees from the law, that is the Mosaic law, to secure a relationship with God. Now, let's go to Romans 7, and I know you know this as we do, but Israel was in a unique relationship with God as a chosen people of God. And they came into that by the covenant of law, where God said, here's all my commandments and rules, and if you obey them, there was an if there, you'll be a kingdom of priests, you'll be a special nation, you'll be my treasured possession, my special possession. That's in Exodus 19. And they'd be a special nation to God if they obeyed, but if they disobeyed, they would be cursed. That was part of the covenant. That blessings if you obey, but if you disobey, you're under the cursing and judgment of God. So it was a law and obedience to that law that would secure a relationship with the living God. That's what Israel had. You know, they failed and God had to take them out of the land and all kinds of things happened. And he had to curse those people for a while because that's the type of covenant they were in. But you're free from that through the death of Christ. You're not legally connected to the covenant of law like Israel. Look at chapter 7, Romans 7. And verse 4 of Romans 7. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now watch verse 5, Romans 7, verse 5. For when we are in the flesh, the motions of sins, or the passions, the actions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. God says, thou shalt not. And we say, who is God to say, I can't? I have my rights, my liberty. And it rebels because we have a sinful nature. And we end up sinning and death. But verse 6, Romans 7, 6. But now we are delivered, freed from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of letter. You are not under the law, Romans 6:14. You're under grace. Thank the Lord for that. You're not under the law. You don't form your relationship. Well, if I fail after 8 years and fail the Lord, I lose it. That's the law. It's called the curse of the law, you know, in Galatians 3:10. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them. You got to continue. You got to do it all, just not five or six. You got to continue in all the things or you're cursed. But then three verses later, in Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ hath redeemed, delivered, freed. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Oh, he redeemed us from sin, but he also redeemed you from the curse of the law. That you are not under the bondage of law, that I have to show up on this day and not eat this food and wear this color. You're not under that bondage to secure a relationship. That was Israel. You are free from the laws, the hymn writer says, to have a life of liberty with the Lord. Tremendous gospel. It frees from the bondage of man and sin and Satan. It's a freeing gospel called the liberty that is in Christ Jesus, Galatians 5:1. There's a fourth area in which the gospel frees from. It frees from a dead mind with the spirit of life. Let's go to Romans 8. This is all in Romans as well as other scriptures. Go to Romans 8. This freedom of gospel, this gospel of liberty that meets us not a social need, but at a deeper spiritual need. And here in Romans chapter 8, and you look at verse 2. Romans 8 and verse 2. For the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now we come to the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And it has freed us from the law or principle of sin and death that the Mosaic law was connected with. So I'm connected with the spirit of life once I'm saved. The spirit comes into me. But it goes on to teach that it deals with the mind. Looking at verse 5, for example, Romans 8, verse 5. That the righteousness of the law, or verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. So a fleshly person without the spirit of God, he's just connected to his natural nature, sin. But when you have the spirit, you're connected to a different mindset. Verse 6, for to be carnally or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the fleshly mind is connected with death, the spiritual mind with life and peace. Verse 8, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. A person not born again, not with the spirit of life, they can't please God. They're fleshly minded, but the spirit of life frees you from that principle of law, sin, and death. That you have new life, you have a renewed mind, called the renewing of the Holy Ghost. You know, no wonder, brothers and sisters, a verse like 1 John 5:20 says to the believer, now we know that the Son of God hath come and hath given us an understanding that we might know him that is true. He's given us an understanding more than forgiveness of sin. You have the revelation of God through the Spirit that you can know the things of God. You can start to know your God. It's not a dead mind anymore. It's been quickened with Christ, Ephesians teaches. And so a believer has a new mind, and we're to grow in that. So we're freed from a dead mind that can't understand God, where the things of God are foolishness to the natural man, 1 Corinthians 2:14. And we're freed by the spirit of life that comes into us and renews us. So what a God, this is the deepest need of the human race, these four things. To have sin off their record book and free from eternal judgment and confinement in the lake of fire. To be free from the curse of Adam's race, to be free from the curse of the law, and to be free from the dead mind with the spirit of life. And so this is the gospel we have and we preach. So this is the freeing gospel. This is the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. You know, Galatians 5 and verse 1. Now, having said that, a little bit of the liberating power of the gospel, I want to also show you that the gospel gives us a new master. We actually read a little bit of that, but I didn't comment on that. The gospel of the Lord Jesus does not leave the believer, the repentant believer who bows the knee in faith to the Lord Jesus, confesses him. They're saved when they do that. When they bow the knee and confess him as Lord from the heart and trust him. The gospel does not leave you without a master. It just doesn't leave you on your own. Well, I can just do what I want now. It actually switches masters. Let's go back to Romans chapter 6 again and just reemphasize these verses. Romans chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 18. Romans 6 and verse 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You're free from sin, but you're still a servant or a slave of righteousness. God's liberty, God's gospel, isn't just, well, you're just free to do what you want. No, he's just given you a new master. Look at verse 22. It's up there on your screen, verse 22. Look at it here. But now being made free from sin and become servants or slaves to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and to the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're connected with somebody who gives us eternal life. We have holy joy and liberty and life forever for all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and so he quoted when he was on earth there, is actually in Matthew. The reference is wrong up there on the screen. I just noticed it. The reference is actually Matthew 11:30, where the Lord Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He is a master, though, but he's not the cruel master of sin and Satan and deception. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. There is someone to follow. There's the good shepherd to lead your life. You know, when Israel was delivered from the slavery in Egypt, you remember that? God had a reason for delivering them from Egypt, from slavery. Here's what Moses was to tell Egypt in Exodus 8:1. Let my people go that they may serve me. Just not let my people go, that they may serve me. God frees you so you can be loosed from the restraints that kept you from him, so you can now serve him. You know, brothers and sisters, American liberty, it's actually the world's liberty. We could use a bigger term. Here's what liberty is to the world. I am free to choose what I want. That's the definition of liberty today. I am free to choose what I want. That's why popular movements are called pro-choice. I get to choose what I want. And that's what a lot of protesting is about. Nobody can take away what I choose. That is not the liberty of the gospel. It doesn't leave us without a master. It connects us to the living Lord Jesus Christ through his resurrection. You know, if death separates, well, resurrection, new life connects like a new baby born there in that new family, legally in that new family. Because Christ rose again and ascended to the right hand of God, if you're in Christ, you're connected to God. And so while you're dead to sin and free from sin, you're alive unto God. You're slaves to God because the resurrection of Christ connected you to that. And so I'll tell you what biblical liberty is. It's free from the chains of darkness that kept you from God so that you can now do what the Lord chooses. It frees you from the things that restrained you from serving God so you can now do not what you choose, what the Lord chooses. So that a believer is free now to say, what do you want, Lord? He's not blinded by sin. The restraints have been lifted. The chains have been broken so that he can serve the Lord. It's not liberty to choose what you want. It's liberty to choose what the Lord wants. That is biblical liberty. And so the gospel gives us a new master. We can't forget that. We're not without a master. I am the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus. And what a master he is. He restores our soul. He leads us beside the still waters and the green pastures. What a master he is. A wonderful master that leads the needy. Now with that in mind, I want, as we begin to wrap this up a little bit, the Bible also recognizes there's social slavery and social freedom. We've talked a little bit about the gospel and spiritual slavery and spiritual freedom. But Paul realized that when people get saved, they still have a vocation in this world. And that is a social aspect, and he addressed that. He addressed that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And here he's going to give ordinances for Christian slaves and Christian masters. He's going to give ordinances, orders to do. Yes, they're spiritually free, but you live in a world where you might not be socially free. And you might be socially free. Well, how do you handle this? How do you handle social slavery and social freedom, even though you're free in Christ? Well, here's what he says. Look at 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 17. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17. He says, but as Christ is distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Now, whatever Christ gave you when you were saved, wherever he saved you at, it's a general principle to walk in that. And he ordains that in all the churches, an ordinance for the churches. And he gets into the social vocation. Look at verse 20. He talks about the religious thing, then verse 20, the social. Verse 20, let every man abide in the same calling when he was called. Now watch verse 21. Art thou called being a servant or a slave, is the word some translations will have. Are you called being a slave? It says, care not for it, don't be anxious for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. So if freedom presents itself to someone as a vocational slave, then they were to take it. But if it didn't present itself, they were to continue in it. That's where God saved them. Look at verse 22. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant or slave, is the Lord's freeman. All right? They were to focus on, well, yeah, my vocation is slavery, but I'm free from sin, free from Satan. I'm a child of God. I'm the Lord's free man. And they can rejoice in freedom, even though it wasn't vocationally true, it was spiritually true. On the other hand, maybe you were a master. You were free. You weren't a slave. Well, look at verse 22 again. For he that is called in the Lord, being a slave, is the Lord's free man. Likewise, he that is called being free is the Lord's servant or slave, or is Christ's slave. Ye are bought with a price, be ye not the servants of men. Brethren, let everyone wherewith he is called thereby abide with God. And so if you were a master, you had to remember, I'm a slave at the same time. I'm the Lord's slave. So you were to treat the slave with respect. You were to treat him with honor. Because you were a slave too. It would bounce. The slave would say, I'm really free. And the master would say, I'm a slave. And so there, just like, remember Onesimus, the runaway slave, Paul exhorted Philemon to receive him back. He's coming back. But more than a slave, receive him as a brother. Brotherly love. You see, in the body of Christ, it's not your vocation, your class, that makes you accepted. In our world, these things are what gives privilege and all that, your vocation, education, all kind of things. And it causes all kind of conflict, as we see. But in the Lord's body, vocation, social vocation isn't the thing. It's a unique thing. You go to Colossians chapter 3, you know this, but go to Colossians chapter 3. Just look at this wonderful verse here, speaking of this new creation of God in Christ. The new man, it's called in Colossians 3, the body of Christ, the church. And looking at verse 11, Colossians 3 and verse 11. It says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. You see, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither slave nor free. In Christ, in the church of Christ, the body of Christ, there's not that distinction. There is in the social world, but in the church, in the body of Christ, there's not. And this is tremendous. And look again at verse 11. There's neither Greek nor Jew. There's not to be a national distinction. There's not to be a religious distinction, what religion you were raised in, circumcision or uncircumcision. There's not a cultural distinction, barbarian, Scythian. In Bible times, the barbarian was actually higher than a Scythian. Scythian was, some might call them rednecks today or whatever they call them. They were the undereducated, the Scythian, but not in Christ. And it wasn't bond, slave, or free, but Christ is all. It's the one entity and all where you're equal in Christ. Every believer has the Spirit in him. Every believer is accepted into beloved. So says Ephesians 1 and verse 6. Every believer is forgiven of all sin. Every believer is free. That's why we're brothers and sisters. That's why in the church we don't want to make educational distinctions and cultural distinctions. A slave could be a teacher in God's church. God gives him that way. And maybe a doctor or a master had to listen to him. But they're equal in Christ. It's a one entity. And because Christ is all, and as verse 11 added, he's in all. He's in all. He's in every culture, every nationality, every social vocation. The church does away with what the world is striving for. But in the body of Christ, it's already here through the gospel. Why we don't give titles to one another in the assembly. Where Christ is all and in all. We're all brethren, as the Lord Jesus taught in Matthew 23:8. And so the Bible addresses a social vocation, but it shows respect in that no matter what you are, and to realize what you are in Christ and to realize in Christ, there's neither bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. You know, as we're saying, whatever your vocation in life, you are made equal and accepted in the body of Christ Jesus. What a thing the church is. Whether a slave, a doctor, a lawyer, whatever your vocation are, in Christ you're equal. And the assembly is to give display to that. The assembly is to give display to that. You see, as Galatians 3:28 says, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Amazing thing. The world strives for, the body of Christ already has. We're one in Christ Jesus. And so, accepted in Christ. One in Christ. So, brothers and sisters, the best is still ahead, though. As wonderful as this is, I remind you of Romans 8:21, you know, where we're going to be delivered from the bond. Creation itself, the world itself, creation is going to be delivered from the bondage of corruption, the slavery of diseases and natural disasters and depression and all the bondage of sin. It's going to be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God, the glorious liberty, the glorious freedom of the children of God. Creation is going to catch up with it when Christ comes back. That's Romans 8 and verse 21. And so even that is going to change. And creation itself will come into the glorious liberty of the children of God. On the other hand, though, don't forget, there's the bondage of corruption, eternal judgment. But our gospel promises this. Promises it now spiritually in the gospel, practically in the church, where social distinctions give way to what we are in Christ. And then the coming of Christ, it's a gospel, as we said, that frees the slaves. So brothers and sisters, in a day of great social causes and unrest, are we committed to the gospel that frees the slave? This is our calling. We have something bigger than anyone else can offer. May we be committed to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that frees the slaves and liberates for all eternity into the glorious liberty of the children of God through the Lord Jesus. Well, that's what was on my heart this morning. And we trust it will encourage you in these troubled times to refocus on our calling, that we stand unique in what we have, what we share, what we preach, and not to turn from it and get sidetracked and lose the glorious centrality of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. I was going to say goodbye in a couple of minutes. I don't know if you have any comments. Steve, do I close in prayer to one of you? Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for this ability to still connect and bless the elders and their decision to saints and wanting to get back and their gifts. And we just ask thy blessing. And those that are suffering, we know some have disease, and just thy hand and comfort upon them. There's better days ahead. There's the glorious liberty of the children of God, a new creation. And so, Father, we just commit one another in the name of the Savior who died and rose again, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, Father. Amen.